Good afternoon. Welcome to our STEP podcast. My name is Shay, and today I'm here with my fellow students in STEP class 83A. Today we are here interviewing Mr. Marone, talking about what it takes to become successful in the 21st century. Mr. Marone is an active participant in the town council and works for Allstate Insurance. Before joining the town council, Mr. Marone was also associated with the Board of Education here in Wallingford, Connecticut. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Marone.
It's my pleasure to be here.
We are going to start off this interview by asking you a few questions about your educational background to get to know you a little better. Okay. What high school did you attend?
I'm a proud M.T. Sheehan graduate.
And what was your favorite subject?
My favorite subject in school was probably social studies. So I always kind of liked the, you know, I wasn't great at math. I didn't dislike math, but I wasn't great at math. But I really like language and I like social studies and sort of the inner workings of how people make decisions and those kinds of things.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, and I have a bachelor's in political science.
How were your grades in school?
Well, that's a good question in front of my son. So my grades in high school were kind of like up and down. So, you know, it's funny because there's things that are important to you as a kid, and grades were obviously, as a young kid, were really important to me. And then you sort of get into high school and you get lazy, and grades were not so important to me. And so my grades were not great. And then when I got to college, things got a lot better because it's like, now the onus is on you. You're paying for it. You know, if you fail, then it's a big deal. So it's, I would say my grades in high school were pretty mixed. My grades in college were a lot better.
What would you say was your biggest struggle in high school?
That's a good question. So my biggest struggle in high school was probably just trying to stay focused on the task at hand. So, you know, like a lot of people, you like to do what you like to do. So if it was a social studies class and you had to write a paper, I'd write the paper and you'd get a good grade. If it was math class and you had three homework assignments to do, I would say, well, I'd rather do something else. And then, you know, and then that's the struggle. So it's really about staying on task, or for me it was about staying on task, you know, to be able to see each thing through to the end.
Did you get involved with any extracurricular activities in high school?
So I ran cross country, and I was in the band, you know, and so band takes up a little bit of time. So cross country and band was really my thing. I still run today. I stopped running for probably 20 years, and then I started running again maybe 2 years ago, and so I still run. So it's funny, some of the things that you do in high school, you know, as an adult, you just go back to those kinds of things, and so I enjoy running now as much as I did then, probably more in a lot of ways.
Have your high school choices influenced your career choice?
Well, if I'd worked harder in high school. So, yes and no. I mean, I think the thing is, when you're in high school, you have an idea of what your future is going to look like, right? Like, I figured I'd get married, I figured I'd have kids, and then you figured you'd have some, like, successful, you know, important job doing things. And then you grow up, and then you realize that maybe the thing that you thought was the important job then is not really what's important to you now. So my passions have changed a lot, I think, from when I was in high school till now. So to answer your question, yes, because in some ways the things that I thought I was into at the time, you realize you're really not that passionate about, and your focus kind of shifts as you get older. Plus you have more experience as you get older, right? And you've done more things, and you just have a better idea of what it is that really makes you happy as opposed to what it is that, you know, other people think would make you happy.
So why did you major in political science?
So I've always been fascinated in how groups of people make decisions, right? Democracy to me is the best system ever been devised. But there's tons of problems with it, right? I mean, it's better than any other, you know, like Winston Churchill said, right? It's the worst system, it's just better than all the others. So it's a great system, but how to make decisions among groups of people, or if you had a group of, you know, even a small group of people to agree on one thing, on how to, you know, fix something or build a bridge is just a fantastic undertaking. And how much of that is...
Mr. Quinn, please call the office, Mr. Quinn.
That's all right. How much of that is just doing the right thing, and how much of that is getting people around to figuring out that what you want to do is the way that they want to go? Or do you exert pressure in other ways where you make it look like, you know, they're the bad guy if they're against it? So it's sort of the, you know, the interplay of how you get decisions made and how you get people around to what you want to happen. So I guess the first part is you need to have a vision of what you want to happen, right? And then how are you going to make that vision come to life, right? We all have wants, but it's like, what are you willing to do for your wants, right? Like, if I want a brand new Maserati, you know, could I go out and get one? I probably could, but what other sacrifices would I have to make? So really, how big of a want is it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of went all over the place.
It's all right.
So what career path did you choose after you majored in political science?
So after majoring in political science, I toyed with a couple of things, like going to law school and some other things. And I decided that at the time I'd had enough school and I wasn't interested. So then I was sort of like, I had a job pretty soon after college, but I didn't really have... There was nothing that was really I was really passionate about at the time. So there were openings in the insurance field. There's a lot of insurance jobs in this area. So I took a job with an insurance company. And then from there, I went to another insurance company. I've been with Allstate now for 19 years. So it's funny because when I was in college, people said, prepare yourself to have 3 to 5 completely separate careers when you got out of school. And I have plenty of friends that did that. For me, that was not the way. I just found a spot. And within Allstate, I probably had 10 different jobs. But, you know, they've been pretty good to me. So you just, you know, you hang in there.
So what are some other occupations that you've had in the past?
Well, that's it. So I worked for the insurance company I've done insurance since I've been out of college. And then, you know, then high school jobs, you know, working at stores and stuff. But that's really, for me, it's really just been the one career.
Did you learn anything from these jobs? Did they help you?
Help me in life?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. So my job involves a lot of heavy-duty negotiation. And so I think the ability to negotiate is something that helps you so many times. Like when you go to buy a car and the salesman looks at you and he says certain phrases that you realize that he's setting you up to say one thing. And so you know how to get around that or what to say in response. So I guess negotiation to me is a skill that everyone should learn. No matter what field you're in, whether it's the science or math, you're constantly negotiating. Even if you don't realize it, other people are negotiating with you. So you have to be ready at all times to... you know, to throw down and negotiate. Mm-hmm.
So do you participate in the community in any other way besides insurance company?
So I'm on the town council, and I was on the board of ed before that, and then I try to get involved in other mm-hmm. community projects. I was involved with Boy Scouts for a while. I'm involved with my church. So community is very important to me. You know, when you talk about how decisions get made, you know, you want to be a part of, like, Wallingford's future or the future of your community, right? Mm-hmm. And so... And it doesn't have to be Wallingford. I mean, it could be wherever you live. But this, you know, it's important to me how kids are raised and how, you know, how people live. So so I try to stay as involved as I can be.
Who's someone from your career field that you admire?
Someone from my career field that I admire. You know, I always admire people that can say exactly what it is that they're thinking and not sugarcoat it at all, I guess. So I have a couple of supervisors that I've had in the past that have just, you know, sometimes you make a mistake and they say, you know... is there another way we could handle that? Or sometimes you make a mistake and they say, boy, that was a big mistake. And sometimes the boy, that was a big mistake is like the wake-up call you need to know that, like, you're going in the completely wrong direction, if that makes sense. So sometimes the sugarcoating is nice and it's like a warm hug, but sometimes you don't need the warm hug. Sometimes you need the kick in the pants to just, like, put you in the right spot.
Was there ever a point in your career where you were unhappy with your occupation?
Ooh, you know, it's funny because for me, some people hate their jobs, right? And some people hate their jobs all the time. I've never hated a job that I've had, but I think that's just a personality thing. But am I ever unhappy? All the time you're unhappy because there's constantly things that happen where, you know, you want things to go one way and it doesn't go the way you had expected, or you get assigned to a project you don't want to do or whatever. So I think that, you know, kind of like everything else in life, nothing's ever like good or bad. It's like it's always a mixed bag, right? I like my job. I like what I do. But there's times when you'd just rather do something else.
What's your favorite part about your job?
I think my favorite part about my job is that I get to solve a lot of problems. So people come to me I work with agents primarily, so when the agents have an issue, they come to me to talk about it, and sometimes you can fix it, and then you're like the magic fix-it man, because I might have talked to 5 people, but they only know me, so therefore I'm the guy that gets it done for them. You know what I mean? So there's a certain satisfaction that takes in being able to solve other people's problems.
How do you work with them? Like, that helps you be more successful in, like, your life.
So, all right, that's a good question.
Didn't know how
to word it. Well, no, actually, it's a beautifully worded question. So why do I work with other people that improves things for me and for them? So I guess to me, transparency and honesty is the biggest thing. Because I think if I make a decision and I can't explain to you why I made the decision I made, then maybe I didn't make the best decision. Or maybe I made it based on feelings, which is fine. You know, you can make a decision based on a lot of things, right? So if I make a decision based on, you know, my gut, then you tell people, say, why'd you make that decision? You say, well, I went with my gut. And then you can't argue that. They could say, well, here's a better way. And then you have to reassess, right? So, but I like to be able to explain to them exactly why it is I made the decision I made. So I'd like to think that when I interact with the folks I work with, when I make a decision, they ask me why and I explain it. Perhaps we all grow a little bit because they have an idea of, you know, where I'm coming from or my perspective. They understand, you know, how my mind works. And so I think the same thing from other people is I like them to explain their decisions to me. That way we can all kind of, you know, learn from one another. We all like to be right, right? So I'm the debater type. So if we have a discussion about something at work, like I want to hammer the point home, you know, and like bring you around to my side, right? But at the end of the day, oftentimes through the debate is how I figure out that, yeah, I really wasn't in the right here, right? So you discuss it, you explore all the angles, and then at the end, sometimes you're wrong and you just take your ball and go home.
So how's negotiating affected your, like, regular day-to-day life?
So I negotiate all the time, and I think sometimes when I don't even realize that I'm doing it, So, like, you know, the kids will ask you for something, a video game or something, and suddenly it becomes a negotiation. Well, if you do this, then you can have this. Or the wife will say, you know, if you put gas in the car, I'll say, I will, but I need you to do this first. You know, and everything becomes a negotiation. So is that a good thing? I don't know, maybe.
It gets the job done.
Can we
move on to family life?
Sure.
So does your family, like your mother or father, did they, like, support what you did?
Yes. Yeah, my family was very supportive. You know, my parents are still married, and the examples they set, my father's a very hard worker, one of the hardest workers I know. My mother was a stay-at-home mom for most of my life. So my father's one of the hardest workers I know. And the funny thing about having a dad that was a really hard worker is as you grow up, you look at him and there's a certain image that you have of your father that may not be the image of who he is, but it's the image of who you think he is. And so you sort of try to live into who you think he is as opposed to who he really is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then as you get to be an adult, you see, you know, like everyone has strengths and weaknesses, right? Your parents included. So as you get older, you say to yourself, why did my parents do this? But then you realize, you know, as a parent, I might have done the same thing because with the information you had at the time, it made sense. So you start to understand that your parents are people too, with strengths and weaknesses. But as a kid, you just see them as this. Your parents were sort of this, you know, this giant Leviathan figure that just controls everything that you do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you grow up in Wanford?
I did. Born and raised.
Do you have any siblings?
I have one sister. She's 2 years younger than me. She lives in Tennessee. She has two kids. Also, I have three kids. She has two. Her husband has a very good job, so they moved to Tennessee. So it's I miss my nieces, but it's, you know, I'm happy that she's out there and they're having a good time.
And do you have any children?
I have three,
yeah.
Ages 14, 11, and 7, all boys. You may know one of them.
Do you believe that the environment you were raised in affected you as a person?
Oh, that is a fantastic question, and I would say absolutely it does. You know, my parents, we always attended church. You know, I'm saying you should go to church, but I'm saying some kind of spiritual belief I think is very important to people. So we always went to church on Sundays. My parents had a very strong moral code. So I think that, you know, when you're in high school, when you're in college, you're experimenting with things, you're learning different things. But then as you sort of get through all that growing, you sort of go back to the moral code with which you were raised. So I think that the way I was raised and the moral code that I was raised with is pretty much the same moral code that I have today, you know, modified a little bit maybe for my personality. So I think that the way I was raised heavily influenced, you know, what I do now and how I interact with my kids, my family, and so on. I can tell you when I'm in the nursing home which one of my kids is going to come visit me and which one isn't. Based on how they were raised.
Did you have a role model growing up, and if so, who?
Ooh. You know, it's funny because when you say role model, I probably would say I had a lot of role models. You know, and I have a big family, right? So there's a lot of people in my family. My grandfather on one side was a big role model for me. You know, he was a veteran. Served in the military. He was always kind of like a get tough, get things done kind of guy. So I always admired that about him. In addition, I mean, there's probably public figures that I, you know, that are sort of role models to me in the way that people think. So I think picking one role model, there's nothing wrong with having one role model. But to me, it's about a diversity of, you know, perspectives, right? You have a lot of role models, a lot of people that maybe mean different things to you in different parts of your life, if that makes sense.
How have your role models influenced you to get to where you are today?
So I think a lot of times you can be good at stuff. There's like natural ability, right? Where you're like, if you're really good at, like for I was in the band, for example, right? So some people are just musically talented and they can just pick up a horn and they just play it and it's beautiful. I was not that kid. I was really good at following directions. So for me, it was really about hard work and determination to get it done. As opposed to having a lot of natural ability. So I think, to me, the role models, it's more important to see role models struggle than it is to see them succeed. You know, like there's the Michael Jordan thing that I don't remember what the numbers are, but like he missed like a million free throws or whatever over the course of his career because he was determined to get it right, so he just kept practicing, even though in his head he was still kind of a failure. So to me, when you see your role models fail and how they handle failure is almost more important than having them succeed. Because succeeding is easy, right? If you get it right, like you win the prize and then you're happy. But to fail and how you handle failure to me is the bigger part to handle. So I would say when you see your role models suffer or when you see them go through really trying times is really the times when like I try to pay close attention. Because I think that's where you really learn something.
So like your role models have been successful. So how do you define success?
That's a great question. And it's almost impossible to answer because to me, success, you have to define it for yourself. So success for me isn't necessarily going to be success for you. So I guess for me, like, financial stability is something that was always a goal of mine. The ability to, like, you know, I know we're not food insecure, certainly. Like, we have, you know, you have a home. But, and it's not even about being wealthy. Because to me, wealth is sort of, I think if wealth is your goal, that's okay. But I don't know that wealth is going to make you any happier, per se, than not having wealth. And it sounds cliche to say, right? Because you hear people say it all the time. But the older I get, the more I realize that there's less to having wealth than I thought there was, I think, when I was a young person. So wait, the question was about...
How do you define success?
Oh, how do I... Yeah, right. So how do I... Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. So how do I define success? So to me, success is about finding what you're passionate about and spending as much time doing the things that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself successful?
So that's... I would consider myself successful at some things and not at others. So I think, you know, everything's a mixed bag, right? Sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail. There's things in my life where I say I've been very successful, and there's other things in my life where I say I've been like an abject failure. So it's just, there's things, and then you have to try to kind of learn, you know, from that, where you take that going forward.
So do you think, like, learning from your failures and, like, past mistakes will help you be more successful?
I do. And sometimes when you succeed, so here's a great example, right, is you run for political office. So you run for office, and then you win, but you don't really know why you won. Right, you did what you did, you campaigned, you had views that you thought were better than everyone else's, you had ideas, but so everyone else had ideas and everyone else worked hard. And then at the end, you win. And so you never really know why you succeeded. So you feel good because you succeeded, but you don't really know. Failure is a little more, like, direct, right? If you fail, it seems like it's usually easier to figure out why it is that something went wrong than it is, you know, why it worked. Sometimes things succeed on dumb luck, and sometimes you fail on dumb luck. But I guess failure to me is more of a learning experience than success.
What does it take to become successful?
I think determination is probably the number one thing that it takes to be successful. I think you could be pretty much mediocre at anything, but be really successful at it if you work hard enough. So, you know, again, you get to that, like, ability versus determination or work ethic. And I think that ability can get you really far, but without the work ethic, you could be the most, you know, you can think of athletes that are, like, really talented at their sport, but they just won't put the work in and their careers just kind of fizzle out. And so it's determination and work ethic are probably the number one things that will allow you to be successful.
Do you think determination has really, like, motivated you to become who you are today?
Yes. Yes, I think so. And so when you can find things you're passionate about, then it's easy to get determined about those things, right? So, like, you know, government is something I'm passionate about. Running is something I'm passionate about. So with those things, you can kind of, like, put the blinders on and shut everything else out and just focus on that one thing for that, you know, for the time being. So to me, determination is probably the number one thing that makes you successful.
Is there anybody who has played a big role in your success?
Yeah, I mean, certainly my parents, certainly my wife. You know, it's... there's, like, too many people to name, I think, when you think about being successful, right? Because when you think about it, you know, everyone wants to be their own man, right? I'm my own guy. I won the election because I'm so great, right? But really, when it comes down to it, along the way, there's tons of people that are helping you. There's people, you know, giving you money to help you succeed. I'm talking about specifically in government. There's people giving you money to help you run a campaign and so on. There's all these other people giving you advice. There's people, you know, talking to their neighbors about it. So really, as much as you want it to be your solitary thing, you know, unless you're like an Olympic runner and you're the only guy that had to do the work, you know, everyone else is pretty much a mixed bag of the, you know, you're helped by the community. You know, I went to school here, so the education I got here helped me. You know, where I went to college helped me. You know, and people just kind of, so throughout your whole life, people are going to help you, you know, with get to your goals, even when you don't intend for them to.
Have you ever had any life-changing events that shaped you into the person you are today?
So this might sound common, but I think having kids changed my life a lot. So growing up, I didn't know that I wanted to have kids at all. I was kind of like, well, you know, like, you're a guy. Like, I'd never really been around babies, never babysat or anything, never held babies. So I was kind of like, well, whatever, I'll have kids or I don't have kids. It's not a big deal. And then you get to a stage where you have kids and you're like, holy cow, this is a lot more than I had expected it to be. You know what I mean? So I think that for me was very life changing. I've never been in a tragic accident or anything. I've never, you know, yeah, hopefully never. So I've never had anything dramatic happen to me like that. You know, things have been pretty good. But I would say if I had to pick one thing, I think having kids was probably the number one thing that changed my life. And it adds a whole different level of perspective, because before you have kids, you're kind of like, you know, you want things to go well for people, but it doesn't really matter. But then when you have kids, you really want things to go well for people because you want your kids to grow up in a better world than you had. You know what I mean? And so that becomes something that motivates me.
Do you think your kids helped you become successful? Like, did you learn, like, anything more?
So, you know, I have three kids. I would say that one's a master negotiator and the other two are pretty darn good at it. So yes, I think they do help you. And I think that sometimes dealing with your kids, you know, when you deal with people at work, they know like 10% of you, right? Your kids probably know 60 or 70% of you. So when you negotiate with your kids, when you talk to your kids about stuff, they have all the background information that they need to try to be more successful at negotiation. So they have more of a 360 view of how you are and your feelings and so on. So I think from that perspective, they do help to shape you, and they help shape you. They also help you to see the world in a way that's maybe a little more gentle.
I have a question. What advice would you give to these guys and also the listeners who are listening today on what advice would you give them as they move on to high school?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, and going back to what I said earlier, is just figure out what your passions are, you know, and be careful to not let other people put their passions into you. Because a lot of times, you know, your parents are well-meaning 100% of the time. But they give you advice on things, or not even your parents, but guidance counselors, whomever, tells you, you should look into this. You're good at this, you should look into this. And you may look into that and start going down that road and realize it's just not for you. So I think it's really about finding out what makes you happy, what you're passionate about. And I'm not saying, you know, leave and join a rock band or like, you know, pick a book club or whatever, like as a career. But I'm saying, you know, you have to make money, obviously, right? But whatever you're passionate about, there's a way to make money doing that thing. So it's really about finding what you're passionate about and putting your energy towards that thing. And then the other thing is, you know, if you're going to do it all the way. Don't go halfway into it. So if you're passionate about something, sometimes you have to take a chance and just go all in and see how it goes. And then I guess my other advice is don't be afraid of failure. I think the fear of failure motivates people more than the opportunity provided by success, if that makes sense. So I think you'll make more decisions in your life because you're afraid you're going to fail than you will because there's a chance of a reward at the end. So I think it's just trying to shift that around, and we're all going to fail. Everybody fails, right, all the time. So I think if you go into it with the perspective that everyone else, and when you fail, you feel like people are looking at you, right? Like it becomes like you're this, you know, subject of people's scorn. But you're going to fail anyway. So if you can just get to the point where it's okay to fail, then you're kind of unstoppable.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Marone, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. We have learned so much about your success as a hardworking person, and I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in to this Step Connections podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.